It's Evan and Tiki here, All-Star Week on WFAN. Sean Morris, Tiki Barber, Lugie Connor with us. We've done a lot on Hard Knocks through 2 hours. Thank you, HBO. Thank you, Josh. But Jet fans, we didn't forget about you. Outside of adding Tyrod Taylor and finding out you really wanted to pony up for John Runyon Jr., there's plenty of Devontae Adams news going on. And I'm just going to put it out here. Before we play any audio, he was on the Club Shay Shay podcast, Devontae Adams.
With Shannon.
I am big on where there's smoke, there's usually fire.
The thing that makes you not be able to ignore this is that his agents felt the need to come squash it.
Yeah.
And if you don't care about something or it's not true, you just ignore it.
Ignore it. Right.
Right. Indifference is worse. And so, or in this case, better. So just ignore it. So to come out and like directly address it tells you that there's some basis to it. And so I wasn't really paying that much attention until two things happened. One, Boomer says
yes.
There's some smoke or smoke around this fire that we can't see. And two, his agents come out and talk about it. That's when I started saying, "All right, now this has to be something. Otherwise, they wouldn't talk about it."
Sure, absolutely. So we have that moment happen, and then today I was floored when I saw this. I thought this was old audio. After the agent says something, does Devontae Adams need to go on Shannon Sharpe's podcast? Like, your agent has already spoken about this. The last thing Devontae Adams should be doing right now ahead of training camp now
right.
is talking to anybody until he gets to
about
training
this.
Camp.
About this. Right. And this is, you know, if you're going on the pod, this is what you're going
of
to be at.
Of course.
There's nothing else to talk about right now.
So the trade rumor's swirling. Devontae Adams was on the Club Shay Shay podcast, and we're going to play it here on the Club Teak Teak show now. Here we go.
I'm actively on the Raiders.
Right.
What do I look like sitting here talking to other people about being on another team?
Right.
You know, and that's how I still feel about it right now. Like, I'm locked in with the Raiders, and I really feel good about this team. And you know, as far as I know, they feel good about me. I answer like this. If I'm going to be reunited with anybody, it would be Aaron.
Okay.
But or be, you know, relocated and be anywhere, it would be with Aaron.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So there, you're getting both answers there. I'm not interested in leaving.
Right.
But if
I'm not denying that. Yeah. I would love to reunite with Aaron Rodgers.
And of course, I get it. That was his best connection, him, Aaron Rodgers. He only went to the Raiders to begin with because of his college connection to Derek Carr, who's no longer there, which is interesting that he's not saying I'd consider going to New Orleans to play with Derek Carr. I don't blame him for wanting to play with Aaron Rodgers, or at least thinking if I went anywhere. But to me, it seems very clear based on Rodgers' little comment at his golf game.
Yeah.
And now the agents control and Devontae Adams there. At some point, I don't know what the tampering rules are. Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams have discussed reuniting and playing together. That's at a bare minimum that conversation has happened.
It is. It's definitely happened. It's just a mess. And I don't think you can dig deeply into this
right.
if we are from our perspective, because of the tampering side of it. Like, there's
right.
no way you're going to get someone to confirm on the record or even off the record that you're having this conversation, because it immediately launches a tampering investigation.
Of course.
Now,
which is why the agent also probably has to go out. They don't want to be involved
so
with this.
So that's my point. So, like, we know that this happens, though. We know that these kind of behind-the-scenes and under-the-radar conversations around player movement happens all the time. All the time. And the one thing that if I'm Devontae Adams, you have to think about, and we said this yesterday or 2 days ago, is the arc of intersection of this Raiders team, right? And with you at 31 years old, soon to be 32, and a team with a new head coach, a very young quarterback in Aiden O'Connell, and I think Gardner Minshew's the backup. I can't remember now. I think it is Gardner.
I think Minshew's going to start.
And he might, but whatever it is, it's not the Aaron Rodgers ideal help us, you know, champion, you know, charge towards a Super Bowl type situation.
And you need a really good quarterback in the AFC to make a charge.
100%. And so it doesn't make sense from a you know, Devontae Adams' legacy standpoint to ride out his career with the Raiders.
No.
Unless he's just happy being okay. You know what I mean? So to me, if he really wants to maximize his last, let's say, 3 or 4 great years, he probably needs to do it with a better quarterback.
Now, Jet fans, I want you to cherish this moment here in mid-July.
There's no Evan Roberts here to check me. I'm about to go all in on positivity for the Jets for a second.
Really?
Okay. Hand up. This may be the last time you get it because I have to wear everything I've said about the Jets on me. I'm about to go all in on positivity. And I'm going to play three different connectings of dots here. There was also another report that came out. I heard Boomer back it up. Diana Rossini discussed Aaron Rodgers was unhappy with Robert Saleh calling his absence unexcused when he went to Egypt, by all reports.
Yeah.
And
it was unexcused.
But Rodgers' point was, if I let you know something, it's not, you gave the blessing, it's excused. And we can all debate this.
That's semantics. It's a little semantics.
Of course. It's like saying they never offered me a contract when they didn't want to disrespect
being you. Being an inexcused absence versus being unaware of his absence are two very different things.
I give Saleh credit in many ways because he didn't need to spark up any controversy, but he was showing he was the head coach and he's going to hold everybody to the same standard. But at the same time, Aaron Rodgers clearly wasn't happy with him. Boomer backed that up. I fully believe that happened. I just watched an episode of Hard Knocks in the offseason where the Giants are being told by John Runyon's people that Nate Hackett and Aaron Rodgers' connection is going to be the tiebreaker with why he would end up with the Jets.
If the money is the same.
If the money's the same.
Yes.
I now see Aaron Rodgers telling a head coach, no, I let you know. I now see they were that close to an offensive lineman based on Aaron Rodgers' connection. I now see a wide receiver saying this. If you're the Jets at this point, who's kidding anybody anymore?
Who's in charge?
We know that this is Aaron Rodgers' team. And you know what? I lived this as a Brooklyn Net fan with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and it backfired greatly. But Aaron Rodgers' age, Aaron Rodgers coming off the Achilles, all the negatives I've given you about Aaron Rodgers is also the exact reason you should go all in on Devontae Adams at this point. Does Aaron Rodgers want Devontae Adams? You better do everything you can if you're the Jets for this next year or two. If he's the first time you've even sensed he could be unhappy is this moment with Saleh and the unexcused thing. Go above and beyond.
Right.
Go all out. Go for broke. Go get Devontae Adams and do everything you can to give Rodgers the guy he wants. And you should leave no doubt that you exhausted all options in going all out for a Super Bowl. Jet fans, I would be absolutely tiptoeing or tap dancing. What's the right way to say it?
Yes.
Because I think the Jets are going to do that. I think the Jets are going to get Devontae Adams.
I mean, you're not wrong in your assessment. The challenge is what you're giving up. And I don't know if they're desperate for Devontae Adams, but he would be a hell of an addition.
Of course.
Right? He all of a sudden makes it really hard to defend the New York Jets offensively.
The Jets would be sending Mike Williams to make Taylor Ham egg and cheese sandwiches at that point.
Right. It becomes a dynamic-looking skill position unit if Devontae Adams is here. And he's motivated. He's excited about it. He knows the system a little bit, so he can get up to speed really quickly. So even if it happens right before training camp or even in training camp.
And they've already addressed, now I don't think it's perfect, but they've already addressed the offensive line too. That was the big argument anti-Devontae prior to this offseason was their offensive line. What are you going to do? They've added guys. They drafted
Tyron Smith, right?
Olu Fashanu. They added Tyron Smith. They signed John Simpson because they lost that on John Runyon. They've done all of that stuff.
Right.
So just go, if you somehow can figure this out with your cap and what you're going to have to deal, because the Raiders aren't just going to hand them to you.
No.
You go do it.
I think you're right. And especially if Aaron wants it. If this is something that Aaron is not demanding, but asking for. This is different than asking for, I don't know, I'm trying to think of Alan Lazard.
Right.
And I don't think he necessarily asked for Alan Lazard, but whatever. He came over in free agency. It's different than that. Because Alan Lazard is a good player. He had a terrible year last year. But Devontae Adams is one of the best wide receivers in the game. And so it's not only is it what Aaron wants, it also makes you great
now there
in that
is,
room.
There is something looming that I think would really irritate Aaron Rodgers.
Mm.
And I swore I would never bring up this Twitter handle ever, ever, ever on the air, but I think I have to. Football fans are well aware. Tiki, you may not be aware. There is a Twitter handle that's gone around this whole offseason, Pretty Ricky.
Pretty Ricky.
Now, are you aware of Pretty Ricky?
I have no idea what Pretty Ricky is, and I'm sure some of our audience does not either.
So
why don't you inform us?
Okay. So Pretty Ricky this offseason has 3 days ahead of stories breaking, broken NFL stories. But he's not Adam Schefter or not.
And he's right?
And he's been right a ton. Now,
is he also wrong, though?
Well, this is the thing. I have to go back to some of the wrong ones, but he's picked up steam. He's built quite the following. The reason I bring it up is spoiler alert, these accounts that have existed in the past, like there's been this idiot incarcerated bot, where basically they make up stories based on what they're seeing from reports, and they kind of predict the future. Like, okay, things are at the red zone, and then they say, this is done, and then when it's done, oh, I was the first on it. And that's what I thought this account was and was doing. But today, he tweeted something that I have not seen anywhere. So if this comes to fruition, I will have to give Pretty Ricky all these due. He tweeted that he has sources that say Brandon Ayuk, one of the targets on the Niner list, is the Raiders. And in a deal like that, because the Niners want to continue to be great, Devontae Adams would be included in the trading of the resources there. And in an Ayuk deal,
Devontae Adams would go to the...
for Brandon Ayuk, amongst other things, draft picks or whatever, but it would land Devontae Adams with the 49ers, which I'm sure he would not say no to. He'd be on a really good team. If that happens, number one, good for Pretty Ricky for getting this right. If it does happen, though, that's where I could see Aaron Rodgers being really, really annoyed that Devontae was available.
So what you're saying is if Devontae Adams does get moved,
it has to be the Jets.
And if not to the Jets, then we got a problem.
I think you'd have a big problem. I think Rodgers would look at it and go, this is the one guy I wanted, even though it's not the one guy. He's one of a ton of guys. How do you let him go to a team that could potentially beat us in a Super Bowl?
But, you know, it's interesting because when you look at the 49ers, like, their wide receiver, if... they have Deebo Samuel is still there, obviously. Jawan Jennings is there, and Brandon Ayuk. That's their three. That's their big three.
Right.
But if you replace Brandon Ayuk with Devontae Adams, it's the same conversation we're having about the Jets.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you have what feels like an elite wide receiver room.
Of course. Because he's better than Ayuk, as much as we like Ayuk's upside.
Right. He is. I mean, maybe Ayuk still has some growth and can still become better. Right. And we kind of know what Devontae Adams is. Not saying that in a negative, because what he is great. But it still creates a dynamic team for the 49ers. And by the way, if you're the 49ers, 100%, you're going to get rid of or move off of a disgruntled, we haven't paid yet, even though I heard a report today that they were nearing, getting closer to a deal with Brandon Ayuk. So this could all be moot. But if you're the 49ers and you've fallen short and you're like that player away, I don't think any team is ever a player away, but if you are that player away, a dynamic, dominant wide receiver away from being able to beat the Kansas City Chiefs or whoever your opponents are on the NFC side or AFC side, go do it.
You go do it.
Because they are in a win-now situation. Brock Purdy's still on a rookie deal, right? He's a quarterback. He's going to still be good. You got Chris McCaffrey, who you've taken care of. Your defense is solid. Kittle is there, right? You need to go try to win.
Yeah.
And if you are in a win-now situation, there's only a few teams that are like that, and Devontae Adams is available, you go get him.
Of course, because at some point soon, the Niners are going to start to feel disappointed. You can't keep getting to the Super Bowls and not winning them.
Well, they're also just not going to be able to do it.
Right.
They're just not going
to
keep...
and they're going to have to pay Purdy.
Right. They're not going to being able to just, all right, we're going to be there.
Right.
They're not always just going to be there at the end.
So
right now, they're
on
in that little window where they are there at the end.
So just be, if that happens, keep Pretty Ricky in your mind. I'll have to give him his due.
Pretty Ricky.
All right, I'm going to have to be the bad guy today.
Go ahead.
So Evan is not here. Sean, you're going to have to be something you don't want to be, a Jet fan. You already are a Net fan. Follow along. Jet fan, Net fan.
I just told John positive on the Jets.
Right. Why does he have to be a Jet fan?
Because we all know what the Knicks are doing. They are building a championship team with the power of friendship.
Yes.
They even signed campaign in an election year, right? Campaign, obviously, buddies with
No.
I stole your joke. I did.
I made that joke in a text to Lou Gowdy. I'm stealing it.
They signed campaign in an election year. Who's buddies?
Generational talent.
He's buddies with Mikal Bridges, the power of friendship. And we all remember Evan was, had a lot of energy and said the Knicks are tampering. They bullied Mikal Bridges to come here. I just want that same energy from Evan, from the Jet fan, now being played by Sean Marash, when Devontae Adams, buddies with Aaron Rodgers, the power of friendship, and they tampered and they got him here, because Adams is the same way. He went to the Raiders. They didn't sign him to sell tickets. They signed him to win.
Yeah.
He couldn't win there, and he's coming here just like Bridges did. So when he gets back from Mexico, when this deal goes down, Evan better not go run and hide and bring out the Jet pom-poms, because he can't have it both ways. Your thoughts, Mr. Jet fan here.
So now you want me to be Evan the Jet fan. Well, it's a little different in football, and Aaron Rodgers is 40, Jalen Brunson is not. So, I'm putting my IFO hat here. I'm an independent football observer. I just think you're wrong.
So Tiki
take place enough, Evan?
Yeah.
Tiki break the tie. Is this not the same exact thing
it
if
is.
This happens? So it, Evan better bring that energy.
This feels more Netsy though with Durant. Kind
of. Yeah, it does. It doesn't feel coordinated by the front office.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The Knicks are coordinated. Like,
yes.
This is a Leon Rose.
No, this is Kevin Durant got to the Nets, told him everything he wanted to do, including Harden, et cetera. And then when it went wrong, threw his hands up and said, I had nothing to do with this.
Get me out of here, too.
Right. Which is what this feels
like. Can I go out to Phoenix?
Which is my point. I don't begrudge the Nets for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're an organization like that that never wins, if these guys come here, once you make that first commitment and go, okay, Durant's coming here, you have to almost just say, I know this is a deal with the devil, but whatever he wants, let's figure it out, and you hope it works. I think the Jets are in that spot with Rodgers. You're already here. You've already signed this guy, that guy, the other guy. This is his best friend. He's clearly indicating you want to keep him happy.
Yeah.
He's not like this is the next 10-year plan. Go all in.
Yeah, but and with that being said, I don't hate the buddy recruiting. I don't mind that.
No.
Like I know we want to hate on it and we think it's bad for the game, but I don't hate it, especially with a team like the Raiders who don't feel like they're in position to go win right now.
And yeah. I have a former athlete question for Tiki.
Okay.
If
okay,
Joe Douglas pulls off this trade, does Joe Douglas have to call Garrett Wilson up and talk to him about it? I mean, there's egos in the room.
Yeah,
here. You're
probably.
The number one, but we're bringing in a number one.
Probably.
Just want to let you know, big dog, we're
probably.
Bringing in Devontae.
But it becomes one of those, we have to do it. Right? I know you're our guy. You're our future, but we still have to do it.
Yeah, and I would think a guy like Garrett Wilson might look at it and go, okay, he's going to face the double teams.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to end up ahead of getting my contract,
yeah.
Whether it's here or elsewhere.
Well, this is one of those moments where you have to check your ego.
Of course.
Trust me, it's hard to do sometimes. But if it's better for the team, you got to check your ego.
How do you think I feel every time Lou Gehrig talks? Steve in Pleasantville. Steve, what's up?
What's up, Steve?
Hey, fellas. Like you guys, I think this Hard Knocks is it's awesome to see the behind-the-scenes. The John Runyon deal kind of caught my eye because it's crazy how Rodgers has the league in a hold with Drew Rosenhaus mm-hmm. saying basically, you know, the Hackett-Rodgers connection and using that as leverage. I just found it kind of, I mean, I know he did get another year with the Giants, Runyon, but is it, like, I'm just thinking, is there something he knows about Rodgers?
Oh, you mean he didn't sign with the Jets and why he went to the Giants instead?
Yeah, because they're more of a win-now team. You know, the Giants are sort of on a rebuild. I know he did get another year. Is that something that he sort of went with as more important other than winning? Or is there something he knows about Rodgers? Maybe he won't be there long term?
It's interesting. I don't think that John Runyon or his people know anything that we don't know.
Right.
But I don't think
they get the same guarantee.
Right, but I also don't think it's beyond our reason to think about what he's thinking. That is, well, Aaron Rodgers could be done in a year, or he could be done in 2 years. And you look at the Giants and you say, this team is building. Right, I'm going to be part of this new foundation of building.
Right. The Jets are supposed to already be here. The Giants, in theory, are ascending.
Yes. And so I don't think John Runyon, because he's only 27, right? 28.
I gotta look at his age.
He's not old.
Right.
So, but he's in that stage where his second contract, which is this one, should be something that is sustainable, right? Not something that's going to be a one off, and then they're going to strip down the team, you know, after 2 years. So, I think maybe that calculus came in. That's the only thing I can speculate. I can't say that he's thinking, oh, Aaron Rodgers was a jerk when he was in Green Bay.
Or maybe John.
I don't want to play with him. I don't think that was it at all. I think it was more.
Because it wouldn't have been used as a tiebreaker.
Agreed. I think it was more the Giants have a longer runway than the Jets.
And I could really tick my dad off because he hated the Giants, and now I get to wear a Giant uniform and be successful.
Yeah, Strahan, Runyon deal, fights were awesome.
Lou and Tom's River. Lou, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Before I get to my Daniel Jones question, can we really trust Coach Dable with Judge of Talent since he believes that he can run the 40 in 7 seconds? I mean, I don't think he can run 40 feet in 7 seconds.
He's felt now. He's lost so much weight. Maybe he can.
Lou, I'm going to tell you right now. He can.
Yeah.
He can. We all get caught up in the 4.8, 4.7. I will take you back about 10 years ago. We did a bit in the hallways here on the overnights on CBS Sports Radio, the time now, Infinity Sports Network, mm-hmm. on the DA show, where we, you know, stop me if you've heard this before. A radio show attempts the 40-yard dash during the combine during a dead time. Okay. We went out of the holes. We marked off 40 yards. We got the things. We put it on YouTube. I clocked in, and I was fatter than I am now for everybody who thinks I'm really fat. I was pushing 300 pounds, and wow. I clocked in. I did a 40 in 7.4.
7.4.
And to me, I was shocked. We reran it same time. Peter Schwartz, we've all seen walk around here.
Yeah.
He did it in 8.2. So I'm just saying this to say, once you start to get going, it's all about the jump. And you ran the 40,
yeah,
you know that.
It's all the start.
The fours, the fives, those are the fast times. I think because we see people do them in fours and fives, you would just assume that any fat lard does it in like 30 seconds with a sundial. That's not actually the case. 40 yards is really short.
Yes.
You do finish it. So I think it's felt Dave can do it in 7 seconds. You're misjudging the time.
But here's the thing that I don't know. I don't know if Dave was an athlete.
Well, I'm assuming he played football at some point, no?
He's not a big guy. Right?
He could have played Division III tight end or something.
He's short. He's short like me. So.
Yeah. Well, we can ask Joe Shane, but he doesn't listen to us.
That's true.
So maybe he knows. But either way,
I don't know. What is Dave's like personal football background?
I only know all the coaching stuff. But I would think it's some. It's very rare. Like Mike McDaniel, I think, is the only guy that I can remember that became a coach where he had basically no playing background. He was just into like the analytical approach to coaching and everything. Dave, something tells me a guy like that knocks down a few beers. He's played at worst varsity football in high school. At worst.
He was a letterman. It says, Dable attended St. Francis High School in Hamburg, New York, and was a letterman in football.
Okay, see?
He was teammates there with future coach Brian Polian. Oh, interesting. And future front office executive Dave Caldwell.
Really?
He attended the University of Rochester and was a letterman and 2-year starter in football as a safety. Yeah, he could definitely run it. He could definitely run a 7.
If he played
in fact, I would bet he could run probably around a 6.
And I'm going to tell you right now what people who have never been fat don't realize. The strongest part of your body, if you are fat or if you've been fat and lost weight,
Your legs. Yeah.
You're in a constant leg workout all day long carrying this tub of goo around.
Great calves.
Of
fat
course.
Guys, yeah.
Remember Carlin worked here?
Yes.
He had some of the most magnificent calves. They were modeling calves.
Mm.
Chris McMonagle. If you saw nothing but those legs.
World class.
You would think again. GQ. Fat guys have cut calves. And Dave's has the calves for the 40-yard dash.
Maybe.
No, not maybe. Definitely. Look at these teeth.
Oh, those are beautiful.
Look at this. You see that cut right there?
Yeah.
Great definition.
So gorgeous.
Are you serious? Fat. I can't get my leg down. 888-808-1019. Do you have anything to read?
I do not.
I'm stuck. Evan and Tiki on the Fan. We might have sparked a good Giants conversation, Tiki. Ryan Dunleavy does a great job covering the NFL and the Giants for the New York Post. We've actually mentioned the last couple days of the show.
Yeah.
Has tweeted the following tweet.
Go ahead.
Really good Hard Knocks discussion today on WFAN. I agree with some, not all of it, but at Sean Morash and at Tiki Barber raised an interesting point. Where is Giants assistant head coach Mike Kafka when these meetings are happening?
I know.
So maybe we inadvertently have opened up a can of worms, but the Giants beat is now sniffing around. Why is every coach and scout in these meetings? Where the heck is he assistant head coach? And was he just given a title in name only, which some of us speculated about?
I mean, that assistant head coaching job is often just that. Like your responsibilities don't change because you're now the assistant head coach. You're taking on XYZ responsibilities. I think what it more becomes is that you're just helping with some of the administration that the head coach has to do. And that's conveying game plans. It's scheduling certain things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I still think that Mike Kafka has a very important role to play on this Giants team.
I hope.
And, you know, we think of the offensive coordinator only as the play caller, the guy who's determining what happens on third and three. But it's so much more than that. It's prepping. It's preparing for whatever defenses looks you're going to get. It's like all of that stuff. It's the non-sexy stuff the offensive coordinator is responsible for. And so Mike Kafka is still going to do those things. Because even if Dave's is calling the plays, somebody has to set up the scout team defense. Somebody has to set up the offensive line games that they're going to get practice.
Well, Dable's supposed to observe the whole team.
All of those little intricacies that happen during a game week, Kafka's still doing those things. He just now has a little bit more, on his plate to help Dabes as the head coach.
And Sean McVay hasn't stopped calling plays with the Rams, and every time he sniffs around an offensive coordinator, they get hired for jobs. So 100%. I don't think it's the worst thing for Kafka, but I will say, we're on to this. Next week, the Hard Knocks episode is already teased ahead. Dable has asked, would you trade for Jaden Daniels? If we've done a lot of defense
and
burns.
They did that in this one.
In the tease ahead for next week.
Right.
It was
the
look ahead. So my point is, next week's episode, while we did a lot on Burns and the defense and all of that, is clearly going to be about Malik Nabers drafting him and the quarterback trade up for. To me, if you were truly an offensive coordinator, and I see how active they've involved Shane Bowen, are we going to see an all Mike Kafka next episode? Because if you don't, to the point where he's not even in the room, Tiki.
Yeah.
It's one thing to edit out him not speaking. Right. He wasn't even in the room yesterday.
That's a good point. But, I mean, what we saw this time was mostly Saquon and from the offensive standpoint, and then the offensive line.
Right.
And that's, again, that felt like the business of the game. Who can we get? What's it? We know who we want. We've already identified who the top targets were, and that's the scouting department. That's the coaching staff. It's obviously Joe Shane as well. But what we saw was not like the evaluation process, which I'm sure Kafka's involved in. It was the business side of it,
right?
Which is less his responsibility.
Now, a non-sports note, I'm starting to get a little anxiety here towards
about
the last 2 hours of the show.
Why?
As you know, our friend Mark, who's your friend, who you introduced me to.
Yes.
Who obviously hooked us up greatly in Philadelphia, and we were part of the the faux cheeks tussle, as it's now being known.
And now Mo Cheeks is the assistant coach, right?
Yes, and it was now we brought him to New York. He invited you as well. You have some plans. I am going to Foo Fighters tonight at Citi Field. The weather report, my wife keeps texting me. Thunderstorms.
I mean, Simone's got you in a suite, doesn't
he? The suite should not be an issue. My question is, am I going to get all the way there and they're going to cancel this concert?
Well, how far is it? Is it like...
It's Citi Field. And I'm sure there's people going to Citi Field.
That's not that far from your house?
No, it's not, but it's more of just the practice. We know how baseball works, right? Hey, did the Mets or Yankees update what they're doing yet? When did they update concerts? I've never even been in a scenario like this. All my time going to concerts
That's a good question. I don't know. But here's what you do. You go, and you have some drinks, and if they cancel it, it's all good. You're just having some drinks.
You're right. Either way, it's actually not the worst thing in the world.
Exactly.
Because you've taught me the bougie life now, and I can't go back.
So I've only been to one.
By the way, I would not be going to Foo Fighters tonight if I was not invited to the suite.
You are such a bouge now.
I am.
I've only been to one concert that's been canceled in the middle of it. It was at Jones Beach Theater, Sean.
Okay.
You and I have been there
I've been to plenty at Jones Beach, yeah.
Great venue. It just...
Thunder and Lightning? Is that what it was?
Thunder and Lightning.
And that's it. They wave it off. Concert's over.
And they started the next night. It was Dave Matthews. They picked it up the next night.
But I think Foo Fighters is back for a different concert tomorrow night.
That's the thing. What's their schedule? That's key.
Yeah.
Like, what are they doing tomorrow? Where are they going? If it's Thunder and Lightning, they have to stop, but
like
they
with
may
Major
try
League
to...
Baseball, yeah. Right? Do we have a common off day?
Is there a noise ordinance? Like, can they just start at, like, 2 a.m.? Like, you know what I mean?
I
like, what if a baseball game goes 50 innings?
It's City, sure. Sure, Jones Beach, maybe not so much, but it's City? Absolutely.
I can assure you I will not be watching Everlong at 2 a.m.
Jones Beach definitely has a noise ordinance. Yeah. The bougie people of Long Island don't want noise late night.
True.
Even though it's on the beach, nobody's living over there.
Yeah, but you could still hear it if you live like relatively close by there.
It's not that many houses. But I get it. All right. Either way, if you're driving to Citi Field, see you later. I'm sure it's packed house tonight, but thunderstorms in the area. 888-808-1019. Eric in Sussex County. Eric, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's good?
Hey, Tiki, good luck on getting in the Hall of Fame next year.
Thank you, man.
Also, I just wanted to call and ask you guys what you think about the Giants quarterback situation, because it kind of feels like they're walking on a little bit of thin ice. With all the clause in Daniel Jones' contract as far as the injuries go.
Yeah.
If it does get too far down the road and they're not doing good, what do you see the Giants doing as far as a quarterback in the following year?
Yeah. Well,
Eric, if you were only a fly on the wall during the last commercial.
Right, because that's what we were just looking at. I'm going to hope that Daniel Jones has all the success that we want him to have and that the Giants don't have to make this decision. But next year's draft is very interesting, I guess is the best way to put it.
Best word, yep.
Because there are some unique individuals that are quarterbacks. I think the best one is going to be Quinn Ewers, who is at Texas right now, even though he's not rated as the top one. It's the kid from Georgia, Carson Beck.
Quinn Ewers, for those who want to know, he's so good, he's holding off Arch Manning from being the starter.
At 100% right. But Quinn Ewers also left his Georgia high school, or
college.
Was it Florida? Where was he in high school? Texas? I can't remember where he was in high school. I think it was Texas. His Texas high school to enroll at Ohio State early for an NIL deal.
Mm-hmm.
His high school team would have won a state championship that year. Instead, he goes to Ohio State, gets $1 million or whatever it was, never sees the field, and then transfers the next year to Texas. And so I remember at the time thinking, God, what a punk kid.
Where's your priorities at?
What are you doing that for? You have plenty of time to go to college and make money.
And we thought this was going to become a thing. Quinn Ewers was very frowned upon because a lot of people thought, oh, is this the next generation high school kids just taking the money and abandoning their high school teammates?
Now, it turns out, in Texas, and stabilize a little bit, he's a hell of a quarterback.
Yeah.
And
they made the playoff.
And exactly. I think he's going to be the top pick. But the other guy is Shedeur Sanders. Now, I don't know what people think about Deion as a father of the quarterback. He's obviously the head coach at Colorado. Shedeur is a hell of an athlete. He's got so much talent and potential. But if you draft Shedeur, you are drafting Deion.
Oh, yeah.
And
what head coach is going to want to want that breathing down?
Right.
It's a rare case of drafting a quarterback where you immediately have to think, is his dad going to toss in this owner and he'll be coaching the team?
Right.
Well, the other thing with Shedeur, too, Deion's already come out and basically said there are teams we're not going to.
Yes.
He mentioned the teams they want to go to. A lot of them are obvious. So
it gets like really dicey when you start thinking about Shedeur.
If the season's not great, I think that we are going to be in a spot late November, December, where a couple things are going to be said, and I want to get ahead of them. I want to be the first to say them. Lose more for Shedeur. Okay?
Go ahead.
Please don't win for Quinn.
Okay.
What the heck? Go get Beck.
Nice.
Those are my three.
Nice.
I'm planting the flag, and that'll be my team tank late in the year.
And if we get Beck, we get one of the Cavender twins, so I'm all for getting Beck now.
Oh, wait. He's dating one.
He's dating one of them. I apologize. I don't remember which one, but he's dating one of the Cavender
twins. So does it matter?
How do you feel as a twin?
I mean, we got objectified as twins. I mean, it is what it is.
You know what? Did you ever in high school, you know?
I know not what you talk about.
I mean, anybody thought you were Rondé?
I have no idea. And if it was bad, it was Rondé.
That's what I'm thinking.
This is Tiki Barber.
If you date one of the Cavender twins or any twins, you have the excuse of, honey, I thought she was you.
Did you ever call an experience a rendezvous?
What is wrong with you?
A lot.
This is where my brain goes. Yeah.
A lot is wrong. 888-808-1019. Jay in New Jersey. Jay, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm absolutely loving Hard Knocks this season. This is really, really cool stuff.
Agreed.
By the way, fat guy, really strong calves. So.
I told you, Jay. Nice. It's a constant workout just to walk outside.
You're not joking, bro. I can get on the leg press at the gym and people turn their heads, I'm telling you. But anyway, am I the only one watching this show and thinking to myself, these guys are absolutely crazy to be mic'd up during this time?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got this film crew in there with, I mean, who, I'm sure they sign NDAs, but dude, can't somebody make like a small fortune on the side? You know, they're putting their like salary cap breakdown up on the board.
Yeah.
Their
depth
chart. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean,
like,
again, it's not like proprietary information necessarily. It's not like that people couldn't guess what their philosophies are and things of that nature. But I don't think the league would want things like that leaked.
No.
And NFL Films is a league production. So
yeah, because all the other owners involved with the league wouldn't want their business being leaked.
Exactly.
Out.
So I don't, yes, I know it's kind of like risky that you're mic'd up and all these things are being said and who knows if you catch something on a hot mic, but don't forget the Giants have editorial control.
Yes.
So
which think about everything. We thought when this show started, Hard Knocks, not Evan and Tiki, we thought, oh, well, they're never going to show the trading up for the quarterback stuff. Mm-hmm. We've already gotten teased that they are.
Right.
We're not going to get much on the Saquon stuff. We got more than enough of the Saquon stuff. They didn't show us the wink stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really know what happened with Xavier McKinney. So they have elected to, what have we not seen?
I know.
And imagine what they've elected to not cut out if they're giving us this much. I just hope, because you're clearly geeking out on this as I am, I want more of this. I want next perfect time to drop it to July, dead period of sports. I want to see another NFL team go through this. I just hope this doesn't become, let's call it the Hugh Jacksonization of Hard Knocks. What I mean by that
what do you mean?
So when the Browns were on the training camp version of Hard Knocks.
Okay. I don't think I watched.
Okay, so whatever Baker Mayfield's rookie year. So it's
yes.
6 years ago?
Yes.
Him and Todd Haley get into a very uncomfortable, awkward fight.
I remember this.
Really awkward and really uncomfortable, and it was gripping TV. And from that moment on, every team saw it, and that was when the editorial control of Hard Knocks shifted, and the teams had final say, because no team wanted to look like the Browns look like.
Oh, interesting.
And it ruined Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley.
Right.
Okay.
Right. I mean, Todd Haley's
out of the league.
He just disappeared.
People forget about that moment. Like, if you go back, that's an unbelievable moment. And Hard Knocks has not been the same in the training camp version since that moment. So it almost got so good that we caught such a raw moment.
Yes.
That the league and the we're like, whoa, we can't be showing stuff like this. I just hope that we haven't seen too much here that teams are going to be reluctant to do this going forward.
But I think because they have ultimately have control and the Giants look great. Don't tell Mike Lombardi that. Right, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Most Giant fans who are watching this are saying, man, we are in such good shape. We have a great GM who is competent, and he's got a great staff around him. In fact, we might lose some of those staff.
Right.
Like Brandon looks like he's headed toward GM job.
Brandon Brown, right.
Brandon Brown at some point because of how, just aware and dialed in he is, and Triggs as well. Like, all these guys.
How awesome has Deion been?
Deion's been great.
That's Lukey's boy when we coordinate training camp shows.
So I think because of how well it's turned out, other teams are going to say, you know what? This is great promotion for us. Because, I mean, if you don't know the Giants, and I guess most people technically do, but if you don't know the Giants and you're watching this out on the West Coast somewhere, you're kind of saying, I kind of like this team. Right, like,
yeah.
I kind of like the way that they went about putting this together. The personalities of the GM look tight. Dave's the same thing. Tight. He's funny, but he's dead ass serious.
Right.
Shane has come across
really likable.
Right. And I think if you embrace it and you're true to who you are, like when the only one that I really liked training camp, and I'm so biased, and I'm telling you right now, this is all bias, it was Dan Campbell with the Lions.
It was good
because he's just so real.
Right.
He is emotional.
You can edit out a ton of stuff. You're still getting the real Dan Campbell.
And by the way, he wouldn't even care.
True.
It's just like, this is just me, man. You don't like it? It is what it is. And that's how he is with his teammates or with his team. And it's why they embrace him, because he's just real. And so, as long as you're real, then the eye in the sky, as we say, because sometimes these cameras are just like literally posted on the ceiling. The eye in the sky is not going to lie. It's going to tell you. Like, about your personality. And I think that's a good thing, because some of these guys are great people. We just don't know them.
And you're finding out a lot about them. You think Deion's buying any drinks now? You think he goes out to the bar? Nobody knew. You know, I work for the Giants. What do you do? And now he's on TV like this, back-to-back big weeks for Deion. He's a big celeb now. 888-808-1019. Connor in Goshen. It's Goshen, not Goshen, right?
Goshen.
Yeah, it's Goshen, New York.
Right. That's where my wife is from, Connor.
Huh? Yeah, Tiki, I'm a big fan of you because I remember you, there was a big talking to Goshen that you were at a restaurant called Kelly Jean's.
Yep, and that's right.
And I remember like everyone was like all like crazy about it. But I'm a big fan of you guys. I'm a huge Giants fan. And I love this Hard Knocks that's been going on. And I really do believe like we're in really good shape with the direction of this team.
Yeah, we're in good hands, man.
I also just want to talk about, like, I know we're really relying on obviously the young core of the cornerbacks that we have. I really do believe Cordell Flott could be really something, because you actually did see a lot last year of him, and I thought he played very well. when he had his chances.
Agreed. And, he's young. He's still got some developing to do. But, yes, I would agree with that.
But what I was thinking about, what do you guys think? I know, I mean, you probably can get him cheap. I don't know. But getting maybe like a one-year deal, trying to get Stephon Gilmore.
The question is, what does he have left? And by the way, that's not a bad idea. And I don't think it's a bad option for the Giants, to be honest with you.
To add a veteran for 1 year to this young group.
Right. A veteran for young. And by the way, you sign him on a non-guaranteed deal. Like you're free, meaning on the street, a free agent still on the street, come training camp. There is no guarantee for you.
Here's the only issue before you continue. If you are going to sign a deal like that, a 1 year non-guaranteed deal, and it gets to that point, you're a veteran.
Right.
My guess is the Giants won't be the only person, once your market is completely collapsed like that, only team to come after you. Wouldn't you lean team you think is more expected to go to the playoffs?
Yes. Yes.
So yes. That's what's going to work against the Giants.
He's going to hold out until someone needs a veteran cornerback that's actually a good team.
And after week one, no guarantees, too. You could wait like that. Xavien Howard's another corner available. But if you were to ask me, and maybe we'll do a little of this tomorrow, what scares you the most, Jets, Giants, as camp starts and everything, the secondary is a huge, it could be very good because it's so many young guys. They're all Shane guys.
Yes.
It's a massive unknown. I don't know how you look at that secondary on paper and go, whew, but I got Shane Bowen telling me pass rush, they'll be fine. I hope it is. My guess is it's better than we think, but not great. It's probably where
I agree. I agree with that. I mean, the secondary is the one place where you know that there's a little bit of a question mark.
Yeah, but these are all now Shane draft picks, or in Jason Pinnock's case, a waiver wire pickup on him. Lucas and Summit. Lucas, what's up?
Hey.
What's up, Lucas?
What's up, man?
Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for calling, dude.
You feel very ominous, Lucas. What's going on?
I know. I feel like doors are opening. There's like Blair Witch thing going on.
Sorry about that.
It's all good.
Oh, man. Lucas, sorry, man.
Your phone's breaking up.
Lucas. Lucas sounded like he was calling into one of those old hotlines we might have had when we were teenagers and didn't want to get caught by mommy and daddy.
Yeah.
You were just calling a fan. Evan Atiki. Club Tiki. What's wrong?
I'd rather hear an Evan Roberts AI song than that phone call. It actually sounded like AI at the end there. There was
maybe
something weird.
Maybe
going
it
on.
Was.
He sounded like he was at the
Amityville
Horror House.
Can you imagine if we get to this point where AI can call?
They text now. I got AI text.
I know. AI texts me all the time. But can you imagine where they have an artificial voice? And it actually sounds like it.
You can't
and
do
it
that.
And it listens to you.
Because dudes, dogs, damage.
If we have AI callers, you can have AI hosts, and then this whole thing is cooked.
Let's please not put that in the
atmosphere. We become the self-checkout of supermarkets. And I'm good on that. 888-808-1019. Mark in Southern California. Mark, what's up?
Hey, Sean, before I ask Tiki this question, do you like jazz?
Do I like jazz? Chisholm?
Yeah, jazz music.
Oh, I mean, I like it when I'm eating, like, Smokin' Al's barbecue in Massapequa. Like, I can't tell you listen to albums.
Oh, no, I just was curious. But, Tiki, my question to you is about more so about the front line and Malik Nabers.
Right.
I want to know, I hear that they're saying he's really that good. Is it true?
Well, he is. And the one thing that, because I met him, what was it, about a month ago? A little less than a month ago.
Yeah.
I was over there shooting something for Wellington. And I thought he was going to be this cocky, like loud. He was very like humbled and just looks like he's going to be a grinder. And that's just me meeting him personally. He has this personality on the field that is just fantastic. Do I think he's going to be great? Yes, I do. All those LSU guys have been. They're a factory as of late.
Sean, real fast. I was talking to Tiki when he was with BT about the Giants. This is when I was about, I'm talking 1970, when they were down at Monmouth College.
Okay.
They were, that's where they used to train at before they came up north.
Right.
That's when they had Fran Tarkenton there. That's
when I
had an autograph of Fran Tarkenton and Johnson, his name was, running back as well, was on the team.
Ron Johnson.
Ron Johnson. Yep. And, yeah. Also,
Tiki, real fast, the front line, is it really improved that much?
Well, I think it's there's some more certainty than there ever than there's been in a long time. Because Andrew Thomas is a pro bowler, all pro. He's an all pro at left tackle.
Yeah.
Jermaine Illuminor, who's slated at left guard right now, he's a solid player and he's versatile, so he can move. And they've done this on a professional level. John Runyon Jr. has been great with Green Bay, and so
Michael Schmidt is going to be an
John's
important
Michael
one.
Schmidt. I think he's going to evolve and be better. But I think the only question really that I have is Evan Neal. Whereas
yes.
last year it felt like, well, who's playing guard? Right? Yeah, you got a rookie at center. It just felt less certain. This year it feels more secure. Even if not great, it feels more secure than it has in a long time because there's veterans there.
If Joe Shane had definitively by now hit on the Evan Neal pick, I truly believe this. I think the trajectory of the Giant team is looked at completely differently.
Agreed.
Because you would have two bookend tackles mm-hmm. that were all world and everything that likes that. And I would go a step further. I think Daniel Jones maybe is a lot healthier last year because
right.
that he basically was playing with two non-NFL tackles, and last year could have been different. That's how important Evan Neal is to the New York Giants, but by signing Jermaine Illuminor, maybe not as much. We come back. We got a Cinco de 5-0. What was the card game Joe Shane was playing with his family last night? All of that, plus an interesting list just dropped from SNY. I want to run by Tiki and Lugie as well.